store for his people. Let us read our scripture reading this morning before I start preaching. And it's from Numbers chapter 13. We're reading from verse 25, and we're going to read down to verse 10 in chapter 14. So that's Numbers chapter 13, verse 25, and we're going to read down to verse 10 in chapter 14. Let us listen to God's word together. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone to spy it is a land that devours its inhabitants, and the people that we saw in it are great of height." And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not fear, do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us, do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. Amen. It is quite something, the verses that we've just read together this morning. Now, it is so important that I say at the beginning of the sermon this morning that the passage that we've read, the application for us now, reaches its fullness soteriologically. Now, that's a big word for the first Sunday in 2021. And all that word means is it's the word of salvation, the study of salvation. What I mean is that the passage that we've just read about the promised land for God's people in 2021 reaches its fullness when we enter into eternal life, when we see Jesus in all of his glory. That's what it reaches its fullness. The promised land in Scripture should serve to remind us that God is preparing a place for us, that we are just passing through this world and we're not meant to settle here. But actually, he is preparing a place for us where we can be with him and enjoy the blessings that he has for his people for forever, for eternity. But that doesn't mean we settle now. As God's people in 2021, we don't just sit back and put our feet up and just wait until we enter into eternal life. We have been given a mission here, now. We've been given a mandate, we've been given a command to go. Go into all of the world and make disciples. So yes, these verses that we've just read, the fullness of the application would be when we cross the Jordan that we'll cross one day, and we'll enter into our promised land, which is eternal life with our Lord and Savior. But there is still a mission for us to be doing here and now, to go. God still has greater for us here and now. What is the prayer that we love to pray here every Sunday morning when we were gathering together? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just thought about Jesus being born as a baby in a manger. And actually, with the coming of Jesus, what we have is the inauguration of God's kingdom. The birth of the kingdom of God that is spreading and expanding even still to this day. There is still greater for us to enter into as we see the kingdom of God break out on earth as it is in heaven in 2021. And I believe that from our passage this morning, that there are some really important truths and really important principles and lessons that we lay hold of, and we ask God to sow deep and have them deep rooted in our hearts as we begin this new year. So we began at reading at verse 25, and what we read was that after the 40 days they returned from spying out the land. God's people were so close to receiving the promised land, to entering into the promised land that had been promised to them way, 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 way back, throughout the generations. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is told to go to a place where God would show him, and this was that place. All of these years had passed, but the promise was still the same, and they were so close. They could literally taste it. They were 40 days in the land of spies. I'm sure they would have eaten and drinking while they were there. They could literally taste and smell the promised land. And they were told to go and spy out the land. Now, a key verse for us is found in chapter 13, verse 1. We're going to read that together just now. Verse 1 of chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." I'll read that again. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." I'm giving you the land. I'm giving this land to you, God said. That is the key. We need to hold on to that verse as we journey through the rest of it, that God was giving this land to his people. This is what should have been front and foremost at their minds and in their hearts as they journeyed into that land to spy it out, that regardless of what they were going to see, regardless of what was going to happen, that God had decreed it, God had said it, God had spoken it. I am giving you this land. I'm giving it to the people of Israel. Moses sends out the 12 people to go and spy out the land. And what a land it is. Let's read verse 23 of chapter 13. "And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs." I don't know if you've ever been to Aldi, but sometimes they have grapes that are really big. I've never seen grapes that big that you'd have to carry them on a pole between two people. I'm sure they expected some incredible stuff as they entered into this promised land. Who knows what they were going to see? But surely they weren't expecting to see grapes that big. Now, straight away, as they give their report in verse 26, they came to Moses and Aaron, and they brought back word, and they said this in verse 27, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They showed them the grapes. They said, yes, it flows with milk and honey, but alarm bells should already be ringing in our minds as we read that. Whenever we see the promised land being spoken about normally in Scripture, it is always qualified with the word promised beside it, or the land which I'm giving to you, or the land which God swore us. It's always got the qualification of the gift that God was giving to his people. But that isn't how they report it. The land which you sent us into. They leave God out. Already they've forgotten verse 2, the key verse, that God was giving it to them. Yes, it flows with milk and honey, however, yet. And we see that quickly the tone changes. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Yes, it flows with milk and honey. Yes, the grapes are massive. But, man, they are a strong people. They are big people. Those cities, they are so fortified. And already they've taken their eyes off the blessing which they could see, and they're focusing on the obstacles that are in their way. They take their focus off the blessing, and they focus on the obstacles. But then Caleb speaks up. And I love Caleb. Do you know what? In 2021, be a Caleb. Be a Caleb in 2021. Be someone who speaks up and silences the doubters and stands up and believes in what God had said. Verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before them. "Let us go at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Not because of them, but because God had said it. Be a Caleb. We need people like Caleb now more than ever. Where there is such gloom and gloomy reports, we need people to stand up and say, yes, I see that, but remember what God has said. Remember the promise that he's given us, that he'll never leave us and never forsake us, that greater things we will do than even Jesus. That's what Jesus said. That he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Are you still holding on to those promises in 2021? My prayer is that we do. And even if we've lost sight of the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, that actually this morning will be the morning where we are like Caleb, would stand up and be counted and say, do you know what? No, be silent. God has spoken. God has said it. God has promised. Isn't it funny that when these 12 people, they go to the land, and how two of them see something very different from the rest of them. Isn't it funny how we can have the same, we see the same thing, but we come at it from completely different perspectives? I don't know if you've heard the one about the two shoe salesmen who are sent to a foreign country. The first salesman does his 4 days scouting and returns to the telegraph office to contact his company's headquarters, and this is what he writes. Research complete. Terrible disaster. Nobody here wears shoes. Terrible disaster, nobody here wears shoes. Likewise, the second salesman scouts and he goes to the telegraph office to write back to his headquarters, and this is what he writes. Research complete. Glorious opportunity. Nobody here wears shoes. One of them saw, well, you know, no one wears shoes, no one will buy them. The other one saw, no one wears shoes, then they'll have to buy their shoes from somewhere. They saw the same land, the same set of circumstances, but it came at it from totally different perspectives. And in a day and in a time where we keep getting these messages of church attendance being in decline and church has not been as full as they used to be and how people don't go to church anymore. They used to come along with their granny and the Sunday school had 1,000 people in there or whatever the stories of old that we'd like to tell are. Let's look at it from a completely different perspective. What a missional opportunity. Let's think of it this way, as Jesus said, that the field is white unto harvest. We have this opportunity to no longer just sit here in our building, but do what we've always meant to be doing and to go. Go into the world and make disciples. Be a people who are bold and courageous and who share the gospel and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. God, would you give us your vision? Would you give us heaven's perspective on our earthly realities? But very quickly, these other spies, they speak up. They speak up and they say, they bring this bad report. The land which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And they're all of great height. We were like grasshoppers to them. They brought this bad report. Now, when we read about this bad report, we don't just think of it was negative. It was a wee bit kind of downcast, or they felt a wee bit sorry for themselves. That isn't what it means by bad. What it means by bad is we could change that word for evil. They brought an evil report or a false report. They told lies. They didn't give a direct representation or account of what they saw. The land devours its inhabitants. That's one of the lies that they told the people. That if we go there, we're going to get consumed by the land. They told lies. They brought false reports. I remember hearing about the home church that I grew up in Lewis. We'd gone through this big refurb project in our sanctuary. It used to be pews and it was hymn books. And we took out all of the pews and put new comfy chairs in, and we put screens up, and they'd installed cameras even at that point, and they'd set up stuff for a praise band at the front so that they could use it, and a better sound desk at the back, and all those different things. And it was probably the first on the island to do that kind of thing. And I remember one day in school hearing someone tell me that they had heard from a reliable source that the church had also put a disco ball in from the roof. Utter nonsense. It was just a false report. Just a lie. Do you know what? And sometimes we're so quick to try and bring down what God is wanting to build up. You know, we pray, God, let your glory fall in this place. We pray, God, would you use us mightily? Let your kingdom be advanced here. But do you know, if God decides to use a church around about us and it doesn't happen to us, let us never be a people who spread a bad report. But let us bless whatever we see life. And pray, God, would your kingdom come even more in Myrtle's church down the road? Would your kingdom and your glory fall even more in Louis' church up in Shelston? Let us be a people who pray the blessing of God over others and aren't a people who spread bad reports just because we don't like the way that someone's doing something. And in the end, there was a huge consequence for these people. We heard it in the video. That only Joshua and Caleb, and it tells us that only those under 20 along with Joshua and Caleb would get to inherit and enter into the promised land. A whole generation of God's people missed out on the blessing that God had in store for them. That God had in store for them. But also, what happened was there was a knock-on effect. Anyone who's done hill walking or walking in the moors and things like that will always say that if you see a path that's already been walked in, it's a lot easier to walk along that, and you would walk on the path that has already been set. And in if they had entered into the promised land and gone through the giants and gone through the difficulties that might have been there with them, They would have paved the way for those who were coming after them. That actually those that were coming after them would have got to already enjoy the blessings. And they wouldn't have to be the one that would pave the way. The choices that we make now have a knock-on effect for those who are coming on after us. The choices that we make now have a knock-on effect for those who are coming after us. And what was the difference between the two groups of spies, Joshua and Caleb against the rest? Well, this is what it was. Caleb and Joshua had faith and the others didn't. Joshua and Caleb had faith, the others didn't. It was simple as this. God had spoken. Verse 2, the key verse, I'm going to give it to you, God said. It was a promise. It was set in stone. Now, obviously, the other spies, they believed in God. They had seen God move. They questioned God in chapter 14. They believed in God. But the difference was they didn't have faith in God. They acknowledged that God existed, but they didn't believe that God would be able to do this for them. They didn't focus on God. God wasn't the center of their lives. They were putting their obstacles and their hardships and the trials and the giants in place of God, rather than looking at everything through God and the one who was sending them. Joshua and Caleb, they kept it all about God. And in 2021, here is my top bit of advice for you and for me and for us as a congregation. Don't make it about you. Make it about God. As we read from Spurgeon earlier on, that actually we would live nearer to Christ in this year than we have ever. And actually as we do that, we become less and Jesus becomes more. We decrease, he increases. And while we decrease, our troubles decrease, our giants seem smaller because actually we see God as we should see him, as an awesome God, all powerful. And with him, all things are possible. When we take our eyes off the one who is calling us and sending us and guiding us, everything seems impossible. And they weren't just belittling themselves. They were renouncing the promises of God. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. And this false report they spread, verse 1 of chapter 14, it led everyone in the nation to weep that night. And they grumbled. Their words had a huge knock-on effect for the rest of God's people. Like I said, the choices we make now impact the life those after us will live. We see that even in the natural with things like the climate, global warming and climate emergency that we have and all these different things, that actually the decisions that we make now have a knock-on effect for those who are coming after us. And that is the same spiritually. They begin to see the world's giants and the problems that were in front of them rather than focus on God's promised presence, the abundance of possibilities, and the life that Christ, that God was promising them and the blessing of the promised land. And because of that, a whole generation missed out on what God was doing, and actually it had a knock-on effect for those who were coming after. Now, I'm not being naive. We see Moses send the spies to go and spy out the land. He needed to go and see what was going on. It wasn't just, let's run at it full steam ahead and go for it. God is with us. We can take on anything and take on anyone. There was wisdom of how Moses constructed this and what they did. They sent out the spies. He had questions he wanted answered. How strong are they? How weak are they? What are they like? How many of them are there? See, God didn't tell Moses of any of those things. He didn't tell him any of those details. Why? Because he told them the most important detail, and the only detail they needed to know was this, that God was giving it to them. I'm giving you this land. Do we believe in the word of God? Do we believe in the word of God? Do we believe that this book changes lives, transforms peoples, transforms communities, transforms nations? It never returns to him void.
And these verses that we go on from when they grumble and they come to Moses and Aaron, they absolutely blow my mind. They basically say this in verses 2 down to verse 5, or verse 4, sorry. They say this, that it would have been better if we'd stayed in Egypt. Slavery was better than what God is trying to lead us into. That absolutely blows my mind. That they wanted to stay as slaves in Egypt rather than what God was going to lead them into. They had seen the 10 plagues in Egypt. They had seen the Red Sea being parted. They had been fed manna falling from heaven daily for them. They had been led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke by day. They had seen the faithfulness, the power, and the awesomeness of God in the wilderness time and time and time again. But they still rejected him. By saying they wanted to return to Egypt, they were actually saying they wanted to reject God's whole plan of redemption. Now, this isn't a throwaway comment, because in verse 4, they want to go and look for new leadership. And by rejecting their leaders, in turn, they were rejecting the plan that God had for them. We stand at this point in 2021. Where I believe that we are at a place where God is calling us to things that are greater. I believe there is a place that is full of blessings and that God wants to lead us as a congregation to. But there will be giants. Giants of culture, giants of tradition, giants of this is the way it's always been done. God is leading us, and it's in God's strength that we go. And then Joshua speaks up, and we're nearly done this morning. Joshua speaks up in verses 8 and 9. Verses 7, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. Don't listen to what they're saying. That's lies. What God has in store for us is amazing, Joshua says. And then he says this in verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. I love this verse. If the Lord delights in us, God loves and longs for his people to live in a way that is pleasing to him. Be holy, because I am holy, the Lord says. He wants and desires for a holy people. That is what he wants. Who he can delight in, a people who walk in righteousness, a people who hold fast to his promises, and a people who pray, Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And this verse 8, this is our verse for the year. This is our verse for the year. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. I do not know what this year holds. But as many people know the saying, we know who holds the future. We know who is going before us. And I know that if the Lord delights in us, whatever he has in store for us, he will give it to us. This year, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when we're all going to be back in here together. I do know this, though, there's going to be blessings and there'll be challenges. There'll be highs and there'll be lows. There'll be laughter. There'll be tears. But I do know this. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And then he goes on and says in verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. This do not rebel against the Lord flows on from the call for obedience that God wants from his people and longs from his people. Do not rebel. Do not live in fear, but walk in faith. The Lord is with us. I love the confidence of Joshua here. Don't fear. Why do they not have to be afraid? He doesn't say, don't be afraid. We've got the best warriors in the land. He doesn't say, don't be afraid. We've got the best tactical genius who can move the troops around this way and that way. Or don't fear because, you know, we can do this or we can do that. Don't fear. Why? Because the Lord is with us. God is the active agent. It's his mission that he invites us into. He is the one at work. And when we begin to stumble is when we begin to take our eyes off him and the awesomeness of our God, and we begin to look at our problems and look at the obstacles in our way. God is looking for a people who are faith-filled enough and bold enough to say and to pray, God, I am all in, whatever the cost. Sandy Hills, the Lord is with us. And as God calls us on, let us respond in faith to whatever 2021 holds, whatever giants we come up against. If the Lord delights in us, he will give us and bring us into the land and give it to us. And as God calls us on, let us respond in faith. It's not live in doubt, but let us move forward in faith to what he has in store for us, regardless of how big it might look, regardless of how scary it may seem, or how impossible it might look in our own strength. But not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But I want to say this. The blessings that God calls us onto, there'll be a cost. We live a life of sacrifice as worshippers of Jesus. But as we know, our verse of the year says this, if the Lord delights in us, if the Lord delights in Sandy Hills Parish Church, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. I don't know what 2021 holds, but I know who holds 2021. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen.